Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are introducing a new company to the show. The company is Superior Gold, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol SGI, also on the OTC markets under the symbol SUPGF. We are chatting with the president and CEO, Chris Jordan. Now, Superior Gold, their principal asset is the Plutonic Gold Operations located in Western Australia. The company is currently producing with a number of different growth avenues, both in increasing production, also in the exploration aspect. Now, we are going to try to run through as many aspects as we can of this company, understanding too that this is just the introduction. We will be following up as more news hits the market. The company really is a production turnaround story over the last couple years. Now, Chris joined the team back in middle 2021, I believe in July, and he has improved the production aspect as well as the growth avenues of the company. So, Chris, since this is the first time that you're on the show and the first time we're introducing Superior Gold, can you take us back over the last couple of years and the production turnaround that you have helped lead here?
Yeah, thank you very much. So I think what I'd like to do is just take one step a little back and look back at Q2 in 2020 when the company really was in a very difficult position. We were operating at about 60,000 ounces annualized, which, you know, clearly is just way too low to cover the costs and also to make money in the business. And there was a very specific strategy pulled together with my predecessor, the interim CEO, Tamara Brown. And she started off a process in making sure that we deliver on a number of basic building blocks to increase production. Now, I joined the company in July of last year, and what we did was to build on the work that was done there, but also progress it and push harder to try and increase throughput from the underground mine, which is the mainstay of our supply. And we were able to increase our production from an annualized 60,000 ounces a year up to 83,000 ounces a year in Q4 of this year. This has certainly made a significant impact on two fronts. Firstly, insofar as our net cash position, which increased from circa $9 million to now $23.8 million, and we recently announced that. That's US. That certainly puts us in a good position, not only to be financially more self-reliant, but also be able to finance, you know, some of the further investments that we need to do in our business. Now, what that future is going to look like is an interesting story. As you said, we've got a number of avenues insofar as growth is concerned. I'm quite sure, you know, you'd be going in that space in the next few questions. But I hope that gives you a bit of an idea of the turnaround that we're busy with. We've got a three-goal strategy, which consists of four phases. In our assessment, we've achieved goal one, which is basically to get to a sustainable rate of between 70 and 85,000 ounces a year. And, you know, if you look over the last three quarters, we were in and about 80,000 ounces annualized per year. So very comfortable that we've set the baseline at that level. And we're looking forward to FY22 to now enter into achieving the first phase of goal two. And the summary for goal two is building a business of scale, ultimately taking it to 100,000 ounces and then up to 150,000 ounces.
Chris, let's dive into that a little bit more. And just so the audience is aware, you actually have two mills at this site at Plutonic, one that's 1.8 million tons per annum and one that's 1.2 million tons per annum. And right now you're mostly processing out of the first mill, the one that has the 1.8 million tons per annum capacity, but you're not even at capacity there. So what are some of the avenues you have over the next, let's say, 2 years to ramp up and get more production throughput at that mill and then into mill number two?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it basically consists of three potential avenues, and I think it's going to be a combination thereof. The one is increasing production from the underground. Last year we produced 835,000 tons of ore from the underground. This year we're seeing it going up to 900,000 tons for the year, with an exit rate of about 1 million tons per year, and we'd like to see that increase. In the next 2 years towards 1.25 and 1.5 million tons. That work is currently underway to see exactly how we're going to achieve that. That is going to be the mainstay of our supply. And the reason for that is that's where our high-grade ore is. In addition to that, in May of last year, we moved away from oxidized stockpile material and started mining some of our historical open pits. We completed Plutonic East. We're now into Perch. There's a number of other options that we can look at and are currently considering, being Hermes South. There's a number of new targets that we have in that space, which is either on our property or on the Bry Basin JV that we also have 80% share of. The third opportunity there would the main pit pushback. The main pit pushback is really a project that was started about 12 months ago when a PEA was completed, and it showed a potential supply of 60,000 ounces per year for 6 years. That comes with about $80 million of capital, Australian, required to get that main pit pushback done. Now, you can appreciate the extent of the work that needs to happen, given that 80% of that resource is inferred. There's a lot of drilling that we need to do, environmental studies, etc. Our goal for this year is to enter that pit in early stages, which means there's a specific area that we've identified in the main pit that we will access called Main Pit Deeps. And that's going to be one of the key pillars on which we build our open pit supply for FY22. If we look into the future, the main pit pushback certainly will be one of the mainstay supplies into the current mill, of course, together with the underground. Now, that takes care of our 1.8 million tons per annum mill. The second mill, which is 1.2 million tons, as you quite rightly mentioned there, is in care and maintenance and has been for a number of years. It'll take us between current estimates, 20 to 25 million Australian dollars to get it up and going again. For that, we are actively looking externally to our assets for potential ore supply. There's a number of opportunities out there that we are progressing. It's still early stages, but you know, we're very excited about the potential opportunities there. And in essence, what that will mean is we will be able to add on to the tune of about 50,000 ounces per year. So this year, targeting to get that to that run rate of 100,000 ounces a year, and then moving on to getting the second mill up and running and adding another 50 to it. So that, in essence, is our strategy of building a business with scale.
Okay, so Chris, those are some pretty aggressive growth plans, right? Up from 70,000 ounces, let's say, back in the day to now 100,000 ounces and making that move eventually into 150,000 ounces. You've outlined where this growth will come from. What's it going to take to get this growth, though? What sort of cash do you need? And what are some of the crucial steps that investors can look to this year, especially to see that that growth is happening?
First and foremost is the review of our resource and reserve statement, as well as the definition of our life of mine. That work is currently underway. We did not update our resource and reserve statement last year, and we're doing so this year. And in Q1 of this year, we'll communicate to the market what that resource and reserve looks like, as well as the life of mine. That's the first pillar of timing, or pillar on which we're going to build our timeline for progress. In addition to that, we're also progressing with the main pit pushback study work. That, I guess, will probably take the next 18 to 24 months. In addition to that, as I said, we're also talking to parties outside of our business. Exactly what that's going to cost, you know, is difficult to say. What we do know is that, you know, at these gold prices, external assets don't come cheap. And we need to make sure that we, you know, we access the right ore for our process plant. So in addition to that, we've upped our exploration spend for 2022. There's a number of targets we want to go after. And ultimately, you know, if those targets turn out, that they could potentially form a significant part of the supply, taking up to 100 and 150,000 ounces. So it's probably on three fronts that we attacking this challenge. And it's a question of at a certain time to draw the line and saying what is the most appropriate from a cash generation perspective for us to take forward.
Well, Chris, let's dig into the exploration side of things a little bit further. Just maybe bring us up to speed on how many meters you drilled last year, roughly, and how that's going to play into that resource estimate. But then how many meters you have planned for 2022 and where the main targets will be.
Well, insofar as the number of meters that we drilled, it's I don't have those numbers available, so I won't be able to answer that. But what I can do is talk about the spend insofar as exploration is concerned. Our exploration expenditure last year was to the tune of $3 to $5 million. This year we're going to $7 to $10 million, which puts us up at the upper end of the benchmarks. Typically, businesses of our scale would spend up to $100 per ounce produced on exploration. So, certainly showing that upward trend insofar as that's concerned. Our drilling is focused in two areas. First one is the underground mine. We were not only doing infill drilling, but we're also exposing new mining fronts for the underground. We're already seeing that benefits flowing into 2022, where 30% of the ore that we're going to get for this year is going to come from new area mining, where the rest will be remnant mining, compared to last year, where all the ore from the underground was from remnant mining operations. So certainly a step in the right direction. We've dabbled towards the end of last year with some surface drilling. That's going to take a significant upstep in this year, specifically in drilling some of the areas around Hermes South, as well as other targets on our own property. And we'll have to wait and see what the results are. At this stage, we're very encouraged, specifically what we've seen underground. With that better understanding of the spatial positioning of the ore, we believe we'll be in a better position to forecast where we're going to get that next hit for surface options and supply for the mills.
Chris, can we get some more information on this Hermes, either the Hermes Open Pit project or the Hermes South project? Because it does sound like you guys are spending some more money here. This is a potential growth avenue, but it's also a slightly different project. It's not far away from the Plutonic Gold Mine. How much are you going to drill there?
Yeah. So Hermes, to a large extent, we're not doing any additional work there. However, in Hermes South, in and around Hermes South, there are three other targets that we're looking at as well, which is in close proximity to the Hermes South pit at this stage. That drilling will happen in the next quarter and in Q1 and Q2. In essence, what that is targeting is looking at some potential of further expanding our open pit operations in that area and securing supply, not for this year, but I would expect into the year after that, given the amount of work that needs to go into it. So part of that $7 to $10 million, quite a significant portion of that is for our open pit drilling. The Hermes South option is showing signs of potential positive outcomes. Exactly what that's going to be, it's very difficult to say. We need to get the drill in there. Everything is organized to go ahead and do it. We've done the heritage surveys. And I think that's a very important point that I want to expand on, is our relationship with the traditional landowners, the Aboriginal councils, the Jidijidi and Jinjirana, has improved significantly over the last 18 months. And it started off with our previous COO spending a lot of time with these landowner groups. We're engaging with them regularly, and they've been highly supportive in completing the heritage surveys ahead of our drilling program. So that's going really well, and we would like to see that relationship, strengthen over time through business opportunities, etc. But that's a complete different subject, but something that we're also very excited given the challenges that specifically WA has had, with some of these councils.
Absolutely. It's an important part, not just for ESG, but just community relations and just having all stakeholders feel like they have a part of the project and on the right track. Just from a big picture, though, Chris, we'll back up a second here. It sounds like the overall plan is more of a hub and spoke process with these two mills that you have. You've got the underground feed. You've got the pit pushback that you're going to be working on at Plutonic. You've got some of the satellite pits like Perch and even some work that you're still doing at the East Pit. And then you have this Hermes South. So walk people through how that could transform the cost for the company over time. Let's say over the next 2-3 years, when you get up to that 150,000 ounces per year level, what does that do for the cost and what does that do for the company as far as an operating entity?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a fantastic question. And it's certainly one of the key elements that we need to deliver on. Now, if you go back 18 months and look at the cost of Plutonic and where we are today, and our financials will be made available in March this year, there certainly have been a long way that we've gone in decreasing our costs. I think we noted at the end of September that we're just below $1,500 an ounce US. Certainly, if you want to compete in this industry, and you need to make damn sure that you have appropriate headroom and margin, you know, the gold price has been quite stable over the last few months. But, you know, if that turns south, you need to be able to survive that front. The key enabler for us to reduce costs is purely increasing our production and our production rate. A lot of our fixed costs is in fact appropriate to carry significantly high production rates. We need a very small number of people to run the second mill. We are operating our open pits through contract mining, so you know, getting access to service providers is not a major issue insofar as that's concerned. So we would see our cost, and it's very early days. I think an aspiration would be to see that cost drop down another, you know, $200 to $250 per ounce, just to increase that margin and make sure that that shores up our cash generation. Given, you know, the number of projects that we're keen on going after in the future. So in my mind, just holistically speaking, and not even looking at Plutonic, but if you're not in the range of about $1,100 to $1,150 pounds, you know, you're probably not competing there where you're supposed to be. I think the way that the open pits are going to contribute to it is not only producing more ounces, but ultimately bringing in higher grade open pit. So currently our open pit grade's about 0.6 to 0.7 grams a ton. If you talk about the main pit pushback, it's 2.1 grams a ton on average. You know, that's going to make a material difference, not only in our production, but also just getting that fixed cost dilution through the cost structure. So there's certainly a lot of value in us progressing with our production increase, and ultimately not only to produce more ounces, but to get that cost down to the levels that I've referred to.
So it really does sound like you guys benefit from more feed being put through the first mill and then even the second mill because of how much that helps to bring down costs. And you do have a lot of growth potential on your own projects. But can you elaborate a little bit more on the potential of even acquiring other assets, even if they're smaller assets in and around the area of this Plutonic gold mine?
Yeah, I think you touch on exactly what that strategic advantage is that we have, is that we have this latent milling capacity, which if you take a line and you draw a circle of 150K radius from where we are, there aren't any other available milling capacity readily available. And surely you can go and build a new milling operation. It's just going to be profusely expensive. So our capital intensity to get that mill up and going, you know, is extremely competitive to any other potential option that's out there, number one. Number two, we have the established overhead structure to be able to run that. So, you know, a lot of those ounces are going to come in purely at variable cost with very small increase in fixed costs. So, you know, that's certainly going to be a competitive edge. And, you know, we have trucked ore over significant distances already before. So we understand what that might look like. Currently, we are in conversations and we're looking at a few options. It's early days, but I would expect that, let's put it that way, I won't be surprised that, you know, an external ore source, whether we acquire it or whether we do toll treatment, you know, that needs to be confirmed, will form part of our supply into the future.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Chris. And just because this is the first time you've been on our show and you're relatively new to Superior and you have some other new team members, walk us through your background in the industry and then maybe some of the other team members that are newer and just any of the board members you think should be mentioned. Who is the team behind Superior Gold?
Yeah, I think if we look at the recent performance and, you know, the start of the turnaround, Tamara Brown as one of our directors is a key individual on our board. Our board is a very strong combination of investment banking experience augmented by, you know, high level and grassroots level operational experience. So I have to say, from my position, it's very helpful to draw on that experience. From a personal perspective, I spent most of my mining career initially in BHP in the chrome division, then moved on to the manganese division in South Africa, and then moved into the gold industry in 2016 when I joined Newcrest. There I was appointed as the chief performance officer or chief transformation officer, which I did for about 14 months, and then was moved to Lihir Gold Mine, which is, as you know, one of the larger gold mines in the world. Operated there for almost 3 years, and then moved on from there to Brisbane to manage part of the transformation at the Papua New Guinean assets for Newcrest, and was very privileged to get the tap on the shoulder for the role here at Superior in the beginning of July last year. So my experience is a combination of heavily operational, but also transformation and turnarounds. Most of the jobs that I've been in has been turnarounds and stabilization of operations. I think the unique carrot in this role is the significant growth potential that Plutonic has. And, you know, we've already alluded to it, moving from 60, 70,000 ounces annualized and, you know, having a line of sight to get to 150. There aren't many options out there or opportunities out there that can provide you that challenge. So certainly from a personal perspective, it fits me like a glove, and very keen to see that going forward. We've also promoted our general manager of the operations, Russell Cole, who used to run Kalgoorlie operation, you know, for almost 8 years in his past, a very seasoned general manager. He's also been promoted into the role as vice president of operations for the group. So to a large extent, our operational improvement and planning functions will all be run out of Australia. And currently, our CFO sits in Canada together with Mike, our VP Investor Relations.
All right, Chris, let's take care of a couple other company fundamentals, and we will get you out of here. Share structure, I'm seeing a little under 123 million shares outstanding, 146 million on a fully diluted basis. Can you give us a general breakdown of either key shareholders or the allocation between institutions, large net wealth, and maybe some of the retail?
Okay, as you quite rightly said, shares outstanding about 123 million shares. You would see there there's 14.4 million in warrants. Now, they close out, I think, in the next 3 to 4 weeks at a strike price of $2. So unless something materially happens, you know, they will just basically go away. So that'll further tighten the shares outstanding. I think if you look at our market capitalization, about $93 million Canadian, certainly way down the scale, given, you know, our latest results from a cash position. We're sitting there on 23.8 million. Major shareholders, Franklin Templeton at 6.7, Grey Wolf at 6.4, Exios Asset Management at 5.2. So a number of large shareholders in there. I am aware of some individuals that's got larger shareholdings, but, you know, out of respect for them, they don't want to be mentioned. But, you know, there's a few individuals that have taken a, you know, unique interest in our business. We covered quite extensively through BMO, Cormark, Haywood, et cetera. And you can see there what their view around the target prices. Hopefully we can get that moving up further as we keep on announcing, you know, good results. In essence, from our perspective is, you know, these are lagging indicators. In at the end of the day, it's all about how the operation does and, you know, how we build our cash position and ultimately then demonstrating to the market how we invest that cash.
Well, Chris, speaking of the cash, what is the cash position of the company and what is the rough budget for 2022 to keep executing on your initiatives?
Yeah, so our cash position currently is at 23.8 million. And as I spoke about it earlier, you know, it started off in 2020 at the end of Q2 at about $8-9 million. So a significant turnaround insofar as our cash position is concerned. Despite our growth aspirations for this year, we do not foresee any additional requirement for cash. In fact, we will be cash generative. We expect to be. We'll be making available our financials in March, which will give a little bit more color into that. In essence, we will be financing, you know, all of that internally. So we're looking forward to a really strong year for this year as well. Our guidance for production is between 80 and 90,000 ounces. We are mindful insofar as the variability of our specifically our underground mine. So, but we are confident that that's what we'll be able to deliver in this year.
All right, Chris, really appreciate this introduction. If anybody has any follow-up questions or wants any more information on any aspect of Superior Gold, or especially any of the growth avenues that are ahead of this company, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com, and we will get those addressed and Chris, keep us up to date on future news. It's a very cool growth story that's going on here. So happy to have you back on the show.
Yeah, thank you very much. I look forward to it.